Ignacio, come here.
Hola. Hey, there he is.
Ignacio, come back. You want to see my bed tonight, Ignacio? Want to see my bed tonight? You'll come back here. So I fucking thought.
Hola.
Ignacio, please.
Say something funny, or this is a funny podcast. It's based around comedy.
Ignacio, come back. You're funny.
God damn it. Anyways, the two gay parrots were let free. I didn't let them free, actually. They escaped a couple days ago. I think they got tired of my jabbering about them being gay. I don't know. I thought it was more just playful, you know, playful kind of just back and forth between us. But they kind of thought that I was being mean or something. And also, I hadn't fed them in a couple weeks. And I left the window open for like 2 seconds and they flew away. So Ignacio, I mean, I'm not going to blame it all on Ignacio because he was at his internship at the plantation during that time. But I think that if he had been here, he could have been in a position to catch them because I know he has a long history of catching birds because that's one of his main staples of his diet. He's eaten a good amount of birds in his day. And it's just a really tough evening, and I think that kind of segues perfectly into this week's podcast, which is an hour and a half long conversation with Johnny Fairstein. We talk about a lot of different things. We talk about 9/11 a little bit because it was recorded on September the 11th. And we talk about the government and how disconnected we feel from it. Wow, Mike, this sounds great. I want to spend an hour and a half of one-tenth of my waking day listening to this. And we talk about also some funny stuff, some incestual type, you know, creepy child rapey, I don't, like, just, you know, the kind of standard stuff. I thought it was pretty good. But yeah, I mean, if you want to give it a listen, it's this week's podcast. Before we do that, though, I want to mention I guess we don't have any sponsors this week, but I just real quick, I was at Petco the other day, and I think they need to start selling animals that, like, you know when they're going to die, you know, kind of like how milk has an expiration date. You kind of just know, okay, well, this hamster is going to be around for 4 or 5 months, and then it will die, because, you know, I'd hate to have to kill something, because basically, I'm living in Chicago for a few months, and the other day I left my house and it was really rainy and cold, and I went on a walk, and I was, why'd you start a walk when it was already raining outside? It's a good question, but it was rainy as fuck, and I started this walk, and I felt lonely, so I went to the pet store, and I wanted to get a hamster, because hamsters are fun, they run around and shit, but also wanted it to not be alive when I moved back to San Francisco, because I don't want to have to let it free. And or even worse, put it on someone else and make it their responsibility. I just wanted to kind of naturally die, absolving me of any responsibility, you know. So it's not like I could just say, like, oh, there's nothing I could have done. it died of natural causes, blah blah blah. So basically, I don't know how Petco wants to do that. Whether it's a like an internal little time bomb, little tick that goes off in their head that just scrambles their brains at an exact time, or I mean, like, put it in the microwave so it gets, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, debilitating disease that kills it. I don't know. It's, I guess it's, I don't, I but no, but that's the thing. I don't, I would never ever, you know, that's like some crazy shit. I mean, I would never hurt an animal. I don't want to hurt it. I would just want it to die. So yeah, I don't know. Petco employees, if you're listening to this, I already have been tweeting at you. No response yet. I understand. It's the fall, you know, a lot of people are buying dogs and shit, it's complicated, but I'd love to get a tweet back just to, you know, clear things up. So yeah, I mean, even if it's like just maybe even anything, I don't know, like a snake that you can just will die, or something that you can, I don't know, I mean, even goldfish, you know, like, those things die quick, and I was thinking about getting that, but goldfish aren't fun to play with, they're fucking stupid. You can feed them literally anything. I wonder if goldfish would eat semen. Probably. Especially my semen. No. Yeah, I have two more things that I don't like. And then we'll get to the thing. I'm sure you guys are very interested. I was watching the game the other day and last night because I'm a fucking stooge. I'm a fucking patsy, and when the NFL tells me to watch a game, I do it. God damn it. I was watching the Steelers and the Ravens. I hate the Ravens for obvious reasons, and I don't like the Steelers. So it was kind of an odd choice to be watching the game when it was a Thursday night, and there's probably stuff to do, but for some reason I ended up watching the game, and one of the commercials was a doctor, and it was a Cialis commercial, one of those typical throw the football through the hole, phallic, vaginal intercourse, what have you, and the doctor was saying, like the doctor, like a little person at the end that speaks really quiet, really fast, and then tells you all the warnings about all the various things, and he was like, please, sir, doctor, if you should not be taking Cialis. I'm like, what? If you don't want it to, if you, your doctor can tell you to not take Cialis, like, what? That would be like the lowest of the low, you know? He's like, you start out your life not being able to get boners and stuff, or not being able to ejaculate, and then you hit your sexual prime right about where I am. Fuck yeah, Mike. And then you slowly kind of diminish, and then you hit, then you bite the bullet, you're like, okay. Like, even lamer than me not having sex. I'm sorry, it's lamer for me to not take Cialis. Be lamer for me not to take Cialis than to not have sex. To take Cialis than to not have sex. God damn it, Mike. So you bite the bullet and you take Cialis and your sex life skyrockets, whatever. And then you come back down again and and the doctor's like, doesn't, you know, he call it whatever, he tells you to not take Cialis, and that would be a really tough meeting because he's effectively ending your sex life because you're way too dependent on it now. You know, you're not getting any legit boners when you're 75 years old, something like that. I mean, 70 years old, I don't know. But I would probably get a second opinion if your doctor says you should not be taking Cialis. I mean, like I said it in a tweet, it's like he's calling the 10-run rule in your sex life. It's like, nope, you're good, you're out. I'm calling this fucking early. Like, the game should be still going on. Life should still be going on, but he's taking away. There's like no reason for you to be playing. No, man, you don't need this anymore. I'm going to go ahead and take it away. You poor, pathetic bastard. Yeah, that was kind of stupid. Last thing I don't like. I'm tired of going to fucking eateries. And I'm not like a soda guy. Because one, I don't have any money, and two, I've just never raised on it. My parents didn't let me drink it, so I don't have a taste for it. So when I go to eateries, like sandwich places, whatever, I get water because it doesn't make you feel like shit and doesn't rot your teeth. And it, I mean, the only thing I use soda for is to chase tight. But, yeah, I mean, I'm tired of asking for cups of water and getting a fucking shot glass. Like, here you go. It's like, am I on fucking funny cam right now? I went to a sandwich place yesterday and literally got a fucking Dixie cup. And I had to, like, sit right next to the water fountain. Like, every single time I need water, I had to go over there, like, take three shots and then fill it up again and bring it back to my little table. It was fucking pathetic. It's like they're trying to punish. I mean, I get it. They're probably trying to, like, punish you and or shame you into fucking buying a drink next time. And I get that from their standpoint because those companies make more off the drinks than they do off anything, profit margin wise. So I get it, but fuck, is it annoying? I feel like a goddamn, you know, I have to like check my dick size after that. I think that's kind of what they want, but whatever. Yeah, well, I don't know why I do these little pre things. I hate whenever there's a podcast like Martin Marin or whatever, I always skip past this, or Rogan even. But yeah, I just want to get the things off my chest. It's been bothering me. I'm really stressed out over here. And yeah, cool. Well, here's the podcast with Young, Jonathan, Kenyon, Fairstein. Enjoy and have a good weekend. Quit playing with your dinghy.
Talking to me?
Yeah, just finishing up there, dude. Come on, Johnny. You can't jerk off on 9/11. Come on, bud.
Oh, man.
That's fucked up. There's only one rule of 9/11, and it's you can't jerk off. And if you jerk off, you have to update like one of your, some status, like updating everyone how it personally affected you on that day. As if it was like the most unique experience ever. I'll never believe watching those towers fall down. I can't even imagine what that was like. watching the news and like being so shocked.
Yeah, I was reading this today.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no way, dude. I think me and every single other person in the entire country had the exact same experience. Maybe that'd be a cool story for, like, your grandkids, like, elementary school class.
Dude, I don't remember shit about that day, man.
Really?
I remember that my mom dropped off in Unitil and then came back home to get me before school.
Yeah.
And, like, she told me that, you know, I didn't know what the fuck it meant or what to make of it or anything.
Yeah.
And then I just remember in class, in school, like, I was just stoked. Because we didn't have class. We just fucking talked all day.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, like, I enjoyed it. It was, like, a great day. That's what I remember. Just, we didn't have to do shit.
Yeah, totally. And, yeah, I don't think I got it either, actually. And I remember I was pissed off that there was a school because my mom originally said, like, there's not going to be school. And she's like, there's school. I'm like, fuckers. I was so bummed. But yeah.
Yeah,
that was pretty crazy. I still do remember that, like, whatever, watching TV. It just made no sense. I mean, whatever, we're really young. But I think it didn't even make sense to the adults. Like, wait a minute. Airplane? Yeah. Building? Like, yeah. It didn't, you know. It's like saying, like, a submarine attacked, like, the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, what? Like, yeah. I don't know, it just makes no sense. But
someone posted this Hunter S. Thompson article that was written like I don't know, like a couple weeks I think after that, after 9/11.
Wow.
And like all the shit that he said, like, you know, he predicted all this shit that's, you know, proven to be true, that like we'll be at war for a while, even though we don't really know who did this or like where they are or what to do. We're just gonna pick some fucking enemies, probably Iraq,
yeah,
and maybe Syria, and Afghanistan, Pakistan. Yeah, I don't know. Did you see the State of the Union address?
Wait, was that the State of the Union today?
Yesterday.
Oh no, man. Oh, I'm the fucking worst. I usually watch those every year. I read the highlights. Basically, we're going back into Iraq or Afghan or. Where are we going into?
Yeah, one of those fucking places.
Yeah, somewhere over there. Yeah, man, it's terrible. I mean, I just read shit about the power vacuum, and it just kind of like you chop off one head, and at least one grows back, if not two. It just seems.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't pay attention to politics, really. It's just like, makes me sad or frustrated and disillusioned.
Yeah.
But I wish that we didn't feel the need to play like the fucking world police or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I don't know shit. I don't know how big a threat ISIS poses to us or others. I don't know. I always just sort of wonder, like, where are the other developed countries at when, like, someone's gaining power in the Middle East and like they need to be stopped. I'm like, why doesn't anybody else feel this way? Like, I know we're the most powerful and we spend more on military than the next 14 countries combined or something crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. We always feel like it's our fucking obligation. Like, we have to do this. And I don't know. I always just think, well, what if we didn't, man? What if you just didn't
stop? Yeah. No, totally. I mean, I think this particular situation, well, obviously shouldn't have gone in there in 2002 or late 2001 or whatever, but I think it's like the poker hand analogy, like we're already like all in, it's like the river, you might as well like finish it. Like, we kind of did make this bed, you know, like by taking out like whatever, the Taliban and all that shit, you kind of created the power vacuum, and now these people are taking over, can't just be like, peace, see ya. You know, like, it's almost too late to do, like, the isolationist approach. Fuck off. But, I mean, but saying that, why the fuck are we always the one to do this? And I think everyone else rips on us for it. Like, whatever, world police. But then everyone also expects us to act, and they benefit. I mean, I don't know if directly, but, I mean, having people... I mean, just like the other European, like, the other world superpowers that can benefit from, like, a financially and... whatever, just a stable area over there who use their oil, whatever. I mean, it's just not a good thing for people to be chopping, whatever, massacring massive populations for any developed country, especially in Europe or whatever, right?
Right.
And they kind of count on us to do it, but at the same time, you go over, I mean, we're kind of like the laughing stock for being so, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I mean, is there financial incentive for this? I mean, like, I know oil was the big thing in 01 or whatever. Is that still like a thing?
I have no idea. I mean, I know that the alarming thing is that like oil is traded in dollars, obviously, which is like very important to the U.S. And like whatever, a couple months before we invaded Iraq for the first time, or for the whatever fifth time, they were like talking about changing it to something else, and then we took over all of Iraq and went back to dollars. So I know obviously that was kind of creepy, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on over. I know, dude, heroin I was reading about is huge over there now. There's a lot of opium.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
Pretty fucked up. They have pictures of American soldiers guarding opiate fields, like basically, I think it's like doing favors for favors, that kind of like trading, like we'll guard your opiate fields, you do this for us. I don't know what they were getting back, but
what are opiate fields?
Oh, poppy fields. Sorry, fucking sorry.
I was like, whoa!
All this Midwest air, dude. You know, I think someone sneezed on me on the metro, dude. I'm just goddamn idiot over here. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of just really, yeah. Dude, I mean, I feel the same way though. It's so like mind-boggling and so depressing that it's easier just to tune out. But the problem is that's like where like so many people benefit by our generation, who like has all these great ideas, and we're very like open-minded and very like honestly just good compared to the older fucks, and we're just tuned out, and there's so many old white men just benefiting from that, you know, so it's tough. But
are we better than the generations preceding us?
I think so.
It beckons back to that old age-old question of, like, is humanity progressing at all, or are we just, you know, what's the word, running the same place?
Yeah, it's kind of stagnant, yeah. I mean, I think there's some interesting, I mean, like, look at violent crimes been down every single year since we've been alive. I know that, like, pretty steadily. There's, like, little small, I mean, I think socially, whatever, we're moving in the right direction. But, I mean, just social issues that, like, are just kind of, like, hot-button issues in the debates. Like, I don't think there's social issues that are really important. I mean, gay, whatever, if I was gay, it'd probably be more important to me. But there's some other bigger social issues that haven't really gone anywhere. But, I mean, dude, healthcare, that was good. I don't know. I mean, I think we're moving in the right direction. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. What do you think?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that I'm, every time I see Obama, I like, he's so, you know, he's so composed and put together and well-spoken and articulate.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't, you know, every other politician, when they speak, they look guilty.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't. And, I don't know, I read something by Cornel West, just like shitting on Obama, on how like he's basically just a puppet, just like everybody else, and he just, you know, we were all fooled and just taken by him because he's like so, you know, like I said, he's so composed and he's funny, and he doesn't seem like he's feeding us lies like every other fucking slick dude in the, you know, navy blue suit. But I don't know. And again, I don't know shit about politics, and I don't know shit about what Obama's done or anything really, but it seems like there's still all this shit going on, and like he hasn't done a lot of the shit that he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and if fucking Obama couldn't do it, then well, who the fuck, you know?
Yeah. A black dude from a underprivileged black dude from a single mother, like couldn't, you know? Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I think part of the reason he talks like that, he doesn't talk like a fucking talking head on like John McCain or something, is because I know he's got like a lot of young speechwriters. So like think about like people not our age, but like close, and they know how to talk to people our age, and they know how to talk to people when on like big addresses like that. I doubt he talk. I mean, I think that's part of why he's like so endearing, and also he is probably pretty cool. But I don't know, man. I obviously I'm not a huge Obama fan, but I'm like, look, if you look at the past couple elections, it's not like, fuck, if we only had elected whatever, like John Wayne, and like it wasn't like it made some colossal mistake, like that you, like you mess up an answer on the test because of a careless error. Like there was no really other option. And also like the Congress is really fucking him over. I do kind of follow this a little bit because the Republicans don't have a majority, but they have enough to stop any progress, basically, because they don't have they can filibuster whatever. The Democrats don't have a filibuster proof majority, and so they can stop like any kind of like they won't even approve like anything that Obama said. They won't even approve ambassadors in like random countries. Like nothing Obama, they just say
political
no.
Gridlock.
Exactly. And it's the system's just fucked. But I don't know, it's frustrating. And it's mind boggling. What are you saying?
I wonder like what type of shit Obama is on. I mean literally like
drugs.
Do what he does, like travel all the time and then like, you know, to be the president of like the most powerful country in the world and have all this shit like constantly hanging in the balance, like he has to be on sleeping pills and like shit, you know? I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Also, I wonder about like, you know, when he goes up here to make the State of the Union address and shit, like does he take any like Adderall or something? I don't know, I'm just curious because like he has to fly everywhere all the time and shake hands and like put on this, you know, fucking exterior. And like, how do you just turn that out? Like, how do you just, you know, lie down to bed and then go to sleep?
Dude, you know? I mean, it's crazy. I doubt it. I doubt he does. And not to mention, he's got like a family, you know, imagine like, it's hard enough for parents to work regular jobs and spend time with their family. Like, because it's not like he was like, he had this family before he was president, you know, he would like, he had this, there's such a big difference. He was always a politician. There's a big difference between a fucking senator or even a House representative person and the president. And he's got this whole family to take care of. And then now he's got everything, a fucking war, whatever, gridlock in the Congress.
Yeah.
Many wars. I don't know, like drone strikes. Like, I mean, that's like my big thing. Like I wonder how that affects his psyche. You know, like in the army, they teach you to like go in and fucking kill people and they brainwash you and they break you down and build you back up. Someone that like doesn't have remorse and all that shit. But like he was just a regular dude and now he's ordering drone strikes that are killing whatever thousands of civilians. Like, how does he deal with that? You know,
that's like, all the type of shit that makes me think like he has so many people in his ear who are the real people calling the shots. Like,
yeah.
You know, not just people like escorting him and telling him when he's going to sleep and like providing food and telling him when to eat and all this shit. It's like so many people have to control his every day. Like he doesn't plan his own shit.
Yeah.
And it just makes me think like there's this whole, I don't know, group of people that, you know, really doing the shit and he's just the fucking spokesperson, puppet, whatever. And it's kind of spooky.
Totally spooky. I mean, someone picked him to be the next president because if you look at his vote, like remember the first time he ran, like someone brought up in some debate that he hadn't voted on like a lot. He basically just abstained in like almost every single key vote in the Senate for like the previous 4 years or whatever. Cause he was a fucking first term senator and he didn't vote on anything. So he was like, just so that no one could use it against him later on, either side. So like if it turned out to be good or bad, whatever, they'd rather have him not like have controversy. So basically, long story short, someone like got in his ear early and said, hey, we think you might be president. And like who makes that decision, you know? Who, like someone told him he was going to run for president. I don't know. That's just
probably whoever saw him as manipulable.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's creepy. I'm
it's like
fucking
Bush, you know? I mean, it's like Bush to the less of. Everybody said Bush was just the dumbass who was moldable and spokesperson for, you know, McCain and these other dudes who were, you know, smart dudes, you know, and evil.
Yeah.
They're the ones calling the shots, and he's just the one, you know, voicing it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's like a bad movie. Because you have like the sinister, like, backup guy on this, like, the Emperor calling the shots for Darth Vader, you know? And then you've got Cheney calling the shots for fucking, like, the puppet leader, and then you have the real leader, the Emperor, behind it all. Like, that is, like,
Obama,
straight
man.
Out of fucking Star Wars. Yeah, I don't know.
Not Biden.
No. I don't know. I really don't think it's, like, some secret evil society, you know? I think it's more just, a long history of people coming up through the system. I don't even know what, because you want to like narrow it down to like, it's the NSA or the CIA or the FBI really calls the shots, or these guys really call it, the Pentagon really calls the shots, but like, I have no fucking clue. And I'm sure it's not just one faction. I'm sure it's a lot of them. And just together, they just, it's like a mob mentality of like evil. It's not emperor.
Yeah, it sounds the most evil to me, man. Central Intelligence, if you gather all this, they know the most. They have the most information.
No, totally. And they don't. And they have an undisclosed budget. They don't have to report to anyone. They don't even have to say who's working for them. I mean, when a CIA guy dies, they don't even admit that he worked for them.
Right.
Like, it's very fucking whatever. And they were the ones that had the intelligence of all those nukes that the sand people had over in Iraq, right? So I don't know. It's really kind of scary.
Freaky,
shit.
Man. It's like every time I watch, like, do you hate Michael Moore? Or someone I know hates Michael Moore.
No, I like his filmmaking, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, whenever I watch, one of his fucking documentaries, they'll just freak the shit out of me, man. Like, those are fucking horror movies. He's like,
totally.
You know, it exposes the shit, like, that you don't hear about and see about, and, like, I don't know, that shit just terrifies me, man. Like, I don't know, all the stuff about 9/11 and, like, the ties between Bush Sr. and oil and all this shit, it's just fucking freaky, you know, I don't know.
No, totally.
I remember, I used to be hella, like, political. Remember in like 6th grade when I fucking protested and shit with
Dude, like 5th grade, man. I give you endless credit for that. That is the coolest thing ever. But back when I was so gung ho about the war, I'm like, get them, because I was so dumb, like so young and dumb. I literally thought they were firing missiles at like the people that were like planned 9/11, and they were like all in one hut and they were firing missiles. Like it was like I literally thought there was like a front line, you know, like two people.
Yeah.
Get them.
Bayonet.
Yeah. Exactly. And you were fucking out there protesting on the streets, no blood for oil. I was like, what the fuck is oil? Gasoline? Like, what do you mean oil?
Went to protest with L and his mom and shit, dude. I was just hippie full out, and I was like, oh, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I used to stand for shit. Anyways, at some point, I just decided, or was just like, I could, you know, a lot energy towards staying in the know and having educated opinions, but I could also just put that shit in other areas that might not be so fucking depressing or scary.
Yeah, man. I mean, and also, like, where would you even get this foolproof information, these truths about what's going on? They're not accessible. If God sent you an email every day telling you exactly what the situation was, like concisely, and it was actually true, I'm sure you'd read the email. But like, is it worth watching 10 hours of various news channels and reading various articles to get all around some probably like a third of the truth type situation?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not even accessible. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, Hillary will get a set of all this.
Oh God, that scares the shit out of me, and I hate like the fucking stigma that if any man says anything bad about Hillary, then like, oh, you just don't like her because she's a woman. And
I hate women, dude.
Exactly.
Ray Rice.
Yeah. And I really hope the women don't get like the feminist the defensive mentality. Like, oh, the men don't want a woman to be president. I'm gonna vote for Hillary, you know, to like show those men. And I hope that doesn't fucking happen, and I know it's going to.
Well, I mean, it's either her or whoever the Republican is, right?
Yeah, but I wish the Democrats could just throw someone up there, man. Or Ron Paul would just get more votes, because that is the only person that really should be president.
It doesn't even matter, man. That's what I think. I don't think it matters.
But at least Ron Paul says great shit. I don't know. I love that guy. But you're right. It probably doesn't matter. And because there's a lot of different reasons. But yeah, I don't think it matters either. I think
it's just like in 6th grade. Everybody's like, I can't make soda come out of the water fountain. They don't ever do shit, man. Nothing ever changes. We don't ever have like cool, fun, bake sales, shit. Actually, that's all we have.
Yeah.
Nothing ever.
Yeah.
We just become like the fucking face of the student, whatever, government. They don't do shit.
Yeah. And they just want to, and everyone just wanted to do it so they could have power. It's the same exact thing. And like notoriety and like, whatever. They wanted that feeling of being in charge. Dude, fuck, I ran. Me and Jay ran. But I said pussy during my acceptance speech and we didn't win. Yeah. I was like, oh, I also love.
Wait, what did you guys run for?
I don't know. One of the ones, it was like.
Where it was two people?
Yeah, but it was the one that was like the one, I don't know, it was so stupid. I think looking back, I think it was like some position on
like the committee. Oh yeah, so if you won leadership, you were in like the Senate type thing, and then there's like five people that like one of them like took notes during like the leadership meetings. Another one took like brought up different ideas for a certain spirit days. It was like basically you're right, nothing, like zero. There's nothing being decided, nothing. But we did. I mean, but yeah, I mean, and I wanted to, like, I was like thirsty for power, dude. I was like, I want to be on the spirit panel. You know, like.
Well, you didn't win?
No, fuck no, no. I don't even think we came close. I think I even asked someone. We might have come in dead last. Jay and
who
I
won?
I think Gabe Avens and Matt Cox, which is just unsurmountable athleticism that Jay and I just can't match. I mean, but what, you know, what else is there besides athleticism in sixth grade?
We wanted a black man in the White House.
Yeah. So progressive over at Adeline E. Ken Middle School. Yeah, we, and Jay was like, oh, I like cats, or I have a cat. I'm like, Jay, I also like pussy cats. But like, that's what I had it planned as. But the last second, I kind of pushed out, and I didn't make the pause as dramatic. I was like,
you
would have
gotten
like,
dude.
Yeah.
You gotten fucked, dude.
Yeah.
I just would have been waiting for you, dude.
Old Skip, dude.
Old Skip.
God, I fucking do not like Skip Kanishi.
I remember Kaylee Diamond ran. And she,
who?
Kaylee Diamond, the year above us.
Who? I forget.
He's like kind of hippie, like. Sexy. I don't know. I just remember that she all she did was dance.
Oh wow!
And she won. She went up there, and I don't think she said a damn thing. She did like a hip hop dance routine.
And, we all just got erections.
Yeah.
We let our erections vote for us. Yeah.
We felt something stir for the first time. We're like, well, I'm voting for it.
There's like some nerdy chick with like glasses, like had some real changes she wanted to make, and like gave her the fucking time of day for the hot bitch that just shook her like 12-year-old ass in our faces.
Oh yeah, dude,
just hypnotized us.
Yeah, some of the few things I remember from camp, Kaylee Diamond speech, her dance.
That's funny as shit, dude. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was some. I don't remember a whole lot from that either, actually. I just remember all the times, like whatever, all of us got in trouble. Because those were, like, the most fun times. Dude, I know we got, like, a ton of shit. Basically, I was thinking about the other day about how much trouble we all got in and how if we were doing the same thing now, we'd all be, like, medicated heavily. Especially, like, all of us. Like, I mean, I can't imagine I wouldn't be, like, someone wouldn't have mentioned that to my parents if that was the case, you know? And it just...
Would your parents have done anything? Gotten you on some drugs?
Fuck no. But, like, I mean, if I'd like to think not, actually, but, I mean, if years and years and years of teachers and administrators telling them to, I mean, I'm sure they would have thought about it. They tried to put me in therapy because Mrs. Whatever, someone told them to. Went to fucking...
Really?
Yeah, swear to God. I went to one of them, and I just talked to the dude. I'm like, dude, I'm fine, man. I just like to hang out with my friends. And the guy's like, yeah, I don't think he needs therapy. It was, like, the biggest victory ever. Yeah, man.
Damn, who told your parents that?
I don't know. They still won't tell me. I don't know. I don't know if it was, I think I was in like fifth or, probably, I wouldn't have done it in sixth grade. It had to be like fifth grade, probably.
Yeah.
And I was just so pissed. So fucking pissed. But because all we were doing was, we were just being dudes, you know, and they wanted us to be like the little girls in the class, which is just so fucking, because we're different, you know, like whatever, we're, little boys are wired differently and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, it's just discrimination, man. Everyone, no one wants to give, like, boys are the victim ever, or any kind of men are the victim ever. But, dude, we were victims, man. We were just trying to have fucking fun, you know? We're all creative kids, and we all wanted to do something. We all wanted to, like, express ourselves in various ways. Like, we weren't throwing rocks at kids and, like, mutilating animals and stuff. We were, like, making each other laugh, you know? Like... It was like the most honest like just even it's like we were even doing hard drugs. I mean, occasionally doing drugs, but like no more than any other kid are, you know. But it was just that shit just pisses me off, man. I'm still fucking pissed about that.
Remember when we had like a fitness day in Gillespie's PE class?
Yeah.
It was like me, you, and Gabe, Evie, like we all went to the bathroom like consecutively.
Oh yeah.
And, like, he thought, like, we stored something in there or something, like, a, I don't know, porno mag or fucking weed.
No, weed, weed.
So he went to the bathroom, I remember, and, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to fucking get these kids. Like, I remember when he was walking out, like, with a little smile on his face.
So happy, yeah.
Probably, you know, searched the fucking bathroom high and low, didn't find anything. He came back, and, I don't know, one of us said, like, a fucking smart-ass comment, and he sent us all to the principal's office.
Yeah. Yeah, and, it was gay,
Miss Thoric was like, I should remember this because, like, you know, I got, like, good grades and shit, and despite all, like, the detentions and shit, and they were like, the store's like, I just don't know what to do with your kids. Like, you're always getting in trouble. Like, you all, like, have, you're not getting good grades except for you, Johnny. And, like, you never do your homework except for you, Johnny. You're just always causing a stir and don't take anything serious except for you, Johnny.
These ruffians.
I felt like an asshole. I was like, oh, don't separate me from my brothers.
No, I get bad grades, Miss Thoric. I'm failing. Yeah. That's funny as fuck. I mean, yeah, you were going to bigger and better places. The rest of us tumbling ruffians went to fucking the slums of Redwood High School, a blue ribbon school, like top 100 in the country on every single list.
You gotta grow up quick at Redwood, dude.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Dude, yeah, I mean, it was just, I fucking hate, I really hate those people. Like, I don't know, I feel like they're supposed to be educators, they're supposed to be there for us, you know, and any kid that, I mean, like what we said, Mr. Whatever, I've made a few teachers, like, cry and stuff, and, like, got them all really uppity and pissed off at various reasons. And I'm just trying to think about ways that a 12-year-old could affect my emotions in any single way.
Right.
Like, maybe they can make me frustrated if they weren't listening to me. Like, I don't know, I'd be like, listen to me or something like that. But I feel like that's, if you can't control the room of 12-year-olds, then you're going to get, like, personally offended by kids that don't want to learn history or don't want to learn whatever bullshit you're teaching, then you should not teach.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, Gillespie had nightmares about us.
Yeah, well,
he probably woke up in a cold sweat just thinking about us. This fucking kid, this fucking asshole.
Like, what did you expect when you're getting into the profession, you know? Like, we're all going to be little fucking silent angels. Would you prefer if we were all catatonic, you know? I don't know. And especially PE, that's when we're supposed to fucking run and, like, get this out of our system, you know? Yeah. Oh, God. People fucking suck. I mean, our whole system's fucked up, man. So we're so far behind in every single fucking category. Like,
yeah, I mean, school needs to be restructured and stuff, but, like, it's a tough task, you know. I don't have any fucking answers for, like, how you deal with kids, like, different compositions and different, you know, guys, boys and girls, you know, develop differently and are different.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It's like, all they can do is, like, teach us these basic subjects that are, by and large, irrelevant to our later life and teach us to work hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are definitely some takeaways, even from doing something you don't want to do, just learning to do something you don't want to do. Like, I don't give a fuck about history and do it, you know, like, I don't give a fuck about, like, things that I do now and I do it because they need to be done, you know, whether menial tasks or job, but, like, at the same time, when you're that young, it's tough, man. Like, I feel like there's gotta be a better way, or at least maybe it's not the government's job to innovate in that way, but they should make, like, money available for a brave soul that's willing to say, hey, man, we're gonna forget about this whole grade business, or at least class business, and just put these kids in school and try to teach them some shit, you know, and see what they want to innovate, whatever, use their creativity, blah, blah, blah. Like,
I think there are schools like that, but I don't know. I think, like, we associate them as, like, you know, weird kids go there.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they've got to be private.
They're not, like, proven yet, you know? I don't know. There's not, like, I don't know. There isn't, like, validation of, like, those, I don't know, like, the Bay School. I mean, there's schools that,
yeah,
you know, sidestep that whole, you know, the whole basic mainstream curriculum for education and, like, don't do grades and shit. But we don't, I don't know. They're not. They're still, like, taboo, sort of, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, no, totally. But, I mean, the Bay School is for, like, I mean, but that's because it was utilized for, like, fuck-ups from, like, really rich kids that, like, took too many drugs too early on, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, all I know is that, like, I was reading something the other day about how the way our school is set up is to teach kids how to efficiently like work in the factories, how to like, that's like the same system. Obviously we're teaching different curriculum, but the idea of putting us in rows and like testing us on like what's right and what's wrong, A, B, C, D, one of the answers is right, the other three are wrong, are basically the same way they taught us how to like work and do various like tasks back in like the early 1900s.
Like, yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't foster any kind of innovation or creativity to that
yeah.
kind of thing. It's, and also, like, I mean, even like charter schools, so like they get money from the government, but they're like Johnny Hoon teaches in charter school. It's the same shit. You know, it's
yeah.
not really, and like the Bay School, urban, like, yeah, those things, those guys do it, but like for like the Marin kids, they can afford it, you know, but other
yeah.
people just,
well, it's like in this society, in this economy, how many jobs, you know, allow you to be like free thinking or creative or whatever, as opposed to just putting your head down and working. So
like, yeah.
Like 90. The capitalist system is like predicated on, first of all, it's predicated on winners and losers. So you need some sort of way to like hierarchically arrange people so that some people rise to the top and take higher jobs and some people fail and then they end up doing all the grunt work that needs to be done. Like,
yeah.
Schools were set up so that everybody, I don't know, worked hard and realized their potential or something. Like, who the fuck would be janitors?
Yeah.
Who the fuck would do all the shit that we need to fucking get done, but that nobody would do if they had any sort of opportunity other than that?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's definitely convenient to, like, have some kids that basically have no shot of ever taking the jobs that are not necessarily even require a high level of intelligence, but just accessibility. I mean, like,
yeah.
I know a lot of people that, whatever. I was talking to some kid today that was doing some like really fucking low level, I don't know. It was like some kind of like accounting type thing, but not even like a CPA, whatever. Some really low level thing. But he was on his way to like this party bus onto like whatever. He was like going out with all these other like white kids that were like young and good looking, and they were like they're all really excited about their jobs and shit. And I was like, oh, they just like won the lot. They get like the. That doesn't require like a whole ton of thought. It's just like the better of the job, you know, they had access
yeah.
to college, and then they're nice enough kids and now they get these jobs. And I mean, I'm sure
yeah.
I've benefited from that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I think that for a long time, that's true that we need people to do these shitty jobs, but eventually, I mean, those jobs are disappearing right now. And that's what like the huge problem, right? Like, eventually we're not gonna, I mean, we're still going to need a certain number of, and I think there'll always be just people that are idiots and they'll do those jobs, you know, but I feel like the number of like people that we need to be waitresses and clerks and check out people and we don't need car washers anymore. We really don't need checkout clerks anymore. We don't need people at the movie theater to take our tickets anymore. We don't, you know, there's just endless
yeah.
jobs that we just don't need. I mean, dude, if people could fucking pick up their own orders from like the place where the cooks put them, we wouldn't even need waiters. We would just order on an iPad, and when things done, they yell at your number and you go up and get it. Really, like, waiters is just like a completely like superfluous job. Like, it's I don't know. There's
yeah,
a lot.
We just need more machines, man. More robots.
More robots, dude. Then, like,
everything will be fucking fine. Yeah.
yeah.
We don't need any human contact for that matter, dude.
yeah. I'm telling you, I have a 3-point plan, dude. Population control, eugenics, robots. Bam. Hitler, what do you think? Great idea, Mike. Thanks. no, I don't know. It's fucked up. But, dude, yeah, Bill Burr's got this great bit that, like, if there was only 60,000 people on Earth, then it would be way easier. like, you wanted to go to the Super Bowl? You got it. like, you know, whatever. It's like all this shit. I mean, it's terrible, but it's
yeah.
there's so many fucking people. And you know what the best fucking contraceptive is education. It's
yeah.
like, and that's all we need, just get these fucking poor people to stop fucking and making babies that don't amount to anything, end up in jail or just end up being subsidized, their whole entire lives being subsidized by the government. Just give them fucking like a future, give them healthcare, give them
yeah.
after school, give them daycare, give them the opportunity to go to college if they get good enough grades, you know, give them a future and they won't fucking say, fuck it, I'm just going to not strap up, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah. Also, which reminds me of some of the evolutionary psych courses I took. And there's a theory about like depression, why it's widespread, and there's an idea that like it didn't exist nearly as much as it did back in the day or whatever.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's that like people are bombarded by images. It basically blames globalization and mass media.
Hmm.
Like the idea that we evolved in groups of like 200 to 500. And, you know, if that's who you're competing with, like you're likely to be among the top in some areas.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily the best, but like, you know, you'll probably be good at something that other people aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and so you feel needed and self-worth and shit. But now, like, there's no sense of community because, like, I don't know, your computer fucks up, you call someone in India or whatever, you buy food that comes from 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you see all these pictures of idolized people, and that's who you're comparing yourself to. You know, you see a fucking beautiful person on a billboard, and you're like, fuck, man, that's not me. Whereas back in the day, it's like, you know, maybe you'd see, like, 40 beautiful people in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
And they probably weren't even beautiful. Yeah. I mean, or even just Facebook, man. Like, oh, I'm going up. Like, what are my friends up to right now? And then you see the best version of your friends having the greatest time ever. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, that's very interesting because, I doubt people back in the day had time to be depressed. You know, that wasn't like they had too many other needs that depression didn't pop up. It's like, well, how the fuck am I eating? I have to go bury the fifth kid that died in the past like 10 years or whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Another thing about Facebook is like, it tricks you. I mean, this is, I'm sure you've heard this, it tricks you into thinking, you know, that you're connected with people when you're actually not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's people who like, I haven't talked to from college and like, you know, since I left pretty much. But, you know, I check on their Facebook. I see that they joined, like, a fucking dodgeball league, you know? They're working at a restaurant. And, like, it tricks your mind into thinking, like, that you're up to date or that, you know, that you know what they're doing or something when you really don't, you know? And I don't know, like, on my own Facebook, it's like, what would somebody think of me were they to see this? It's like, it shows nothing about me or, like, what I'm going through or like what I'm doing or anything really. It just shows like a very isolated scene, basically like some social scene. It just shows you where you're having fun.
Exactly.
You know,
it shows you the greatest like taste.
Yeah. My friend Drew had an idea called, what's it called? Candid Facebook or Facebook Candid.
Yeah.
Where like, just, I don't know if you take these pictures yourself or somebody does, but it just like puts up pictures of you doing like just the mundane shit of every day, like, you know, standing in line or like pooping.
Yeah.
You know, I think that were something like that to exist, it would be easier on, it would be better, you know, to log on Facebook and see that other people go through bullshit as well.
Totally. They're not feeling great. Yeah. No, totally, man. Yeah. No, totally. I mean, it's, yeah, because the average, like the study shows that like when you get off Facebook, you're always sadder than when you went on. Like, and isn't that the definition of an addiction? Like, it seems like a good idea in the short run, but in the long run, you're just fucking chasing the fucking dragon, you know? Like, you do feel good for like a second, and then it's slowly diminishing returns. Like, this doesn't feel like good. This doesn't feel like more and more and more. Like,
yeah,
it's like, why the fuck do we have these? But I mean, whatever.
And you don't know why you're doing it, you know?
Yeah. No, totally. It's very, I mean, you just kind of go. My fingers take me before my brain knows where I'm going, you know, Facebook. I'll, like, check my Facebook when I'm on Facebook. Or, like, like, I wonder what's up on Facebook. Oh, shit, I'm already on, you know. Yeah, man, shit sucks. I'm having trouble these days. I've noticed that, like, when I have, like, some tough task, whether it's especially, like, writing something or doing any kind of task that I don't want to do, like, I always feel like I want to, like, montage through it, you know? Like, like, why is this taking so long? Why is this, like, hard work? And it's, like, I think it's because, like, I'm, like, growing to just fucking despise, like, the Rocky montage of every movie. And, like, I hate it so much. And, like, because that's not how it happens. Like, I'm, like, working on something I worked on for, like, 4 hours today. And, like, it still sucks or whatever. I didn't make any progress. And it's, like, I think I don't know, it's it's hard for, I think, our generation, especially for the instant gratification, to sit down and do. I mean, it's terribly difficult for me, and I have all the time in the world. I can't imagine someone, you know, like, I don't know, it's just so hard with all the the instant gratification of, I want to click on something, ooh, naked chick, ooh, ooh, to like sit down and try to do something difficult and stick to it without being distracted. It's so fucking terrible.
Yeah, instant gratification, man. Shit's a killer.
Yeah. But fuck, dude, I do want to look at naked chicks online, and I do want to see what the boys are up to. It's like, not even, I don't know.
I think it also, it makes it harder for us to like, find, you know, enjoyment or beauty in the mundanity that we endure. I mean, it doesn't have to seem like an endurance thing. It's like, I don't know, when it's too easy for like your brain to release these whatever drugs for your synapses to fire by just looking at these pictures, it makes it that much harder to like, you know, go through periods where you're not getting that. Whereas like when you're forced to, it, you know, it makes you, it's kind of like, it's like a difference between watching TV and reading. Like, when you're watching TV, it's like you're just constantly seeing visual shit, and you don't have to like do any work.
Yeah,
it's just all done for you. Whereas like when you're reading, you know, you have to fucking read and process, and like your mind has to build some sort of image. You know, so it's more work, but ultimately, like, I think doing that work suits you for life.
Because, totally.
You know, there's moments where, there's most our moments are those like gritty, whatever, grinding through shit, you know, and you're better off being able to, I don't know, extract some beauty out of it. Whereas like when you're just used to fucking being bombarded with shit, you don't, you're not taught to do that. You're not forced to do that.
Yeah, no, totally. It's like fucking junk food versus vegetables, you know. Tastes good in the short term, make you fat in the long term. Tastes not so good in the short term, make you healthy and happy in the long term. Yeah. You know, like, it's, and I know what you mean, man. Like, I talk this shit about, like, writing and all this shit. And, like, I have to, like, ration myself to read because it's so hard. I have to, like, to put my phone away, and then I'm like, Mike, you have to read 50 pages. And after, like, 20 or 30 pages, I'm, like, into it, but it takes a while to get into it as opposed to, you know, loading a web page, which takes, like, 3 seconds. And if it takes fucking 5 seconds, you best believe I'm fucking closing that shit. I'm, like, opening up a new browser or, like, going to my phone, dude. I mean, it's tough to sit down and even read, and to think that like a while ago that was like the coolest thing ever, a fucking book, you know, like even 50 years ago or whatever, I guess television kind of took over, but whatever, a long time ago, not that long ago, like that was like the highest form of entertainment, like a magazine or a book or a newspaper, that was like, oh shit, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I guess
also,
I don't know,
the whole like convenience is better thing. Everything's about like making shit more convenient, you know, as if like convenience is the gold star of success. Like the less shit you have to do, the more successful you are.
Yeah.
Have people to cook your food, have people to buy your food, have people just to do all the shit that you need to do. But like, you know, we have this like reward system that's evolved to like make us feel pleasure when we do shit, you know, just when we fucking expend energy and do stuff. And like, you know, we've been misled into thinking that, like, we're better off when we don't have to do shit. You know, save time, save energy. Don't do this, you know, have it done for you, buy this fucking thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and ultimately, it doesn't fucking do anything for us.
Yeah. It's like, all right, and what are you doing with the extra time? Working
more?
Yeah,
exactly. And idle time is bad for us, you know? It's like, save all this time so that you can do what you want. All right, well, what do you fucking want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you grow weary of doing that shit if that's all you're doing. It's like you need these fucking times of fucking work.
Totally, man. That's why I think those apps are fucking just so lame. All these apps, we're rethinking the way you do chores. Like with one click of the button, you will, like, we're rethinking the way you do childcare. Like, all right, hi, my name's Lyle. You know, like, it's just so fucking... It's like it's all just this shit that, I mean, obviously some of the apps are fucking awesome, but I was reading about one today. It was like someone that comes and like refills your like toilet paper and soap and like does your laundry, but you organize it so that you're never there at the same time as them, so it just magically pretends like it's done. It's like, this is your innovation, you know? Like, it's so... I hate
the curse,
that.
Man.
I hate that fucking culture, man, of just, yeah. I'm going to make $1 billion off this great... Like, it's... Oh, God, then what, man? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck that. I don't know. I mean, just the startup culture is just fucking lame to begin with, but especially the... Yeah, just doing shit like that, it just doesn't need to be... Done. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, because our body thinks like when we do something like that, our body thinks that we're collecting berries, and it's like, oh, Mike, good job. You know, you collected berries. And if you fucking collect berries for 10 hours a day, then at the end of the day, your body's gonna be like, good job, Mike, you collected berries. You know, there's some, your tummy's full, blah, blah, blah. But if you sit around all day, it's like, whatever. Like I said, you just feel like shit.
Right.
And that, yeah.
There's some like law, I forget what it's called, of like, I don't know, it's about like organisms at every moment are like, weighing out the potential benefits of expending time and energy on stuff. So it's like in every waking moment, like we're considering, you know, how propitious, big word.
I like it.
Would
I like
it. To do this or that, you know, and like the fucking, the illusion of fucking convenience being good. It's like, it, you know, plays to that. You know, because like we don't have to make those decisions about is it worth it or not. We don't have to expend energy or time. You know, shit's just there for us. But at the other end of the spectrum, it's like we're also designed to like experience satisfaction and pleasure and like release dopamine and shit after we've expended energy. You know, so it's like a trade-off, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And it's easy to get caught in the trap of not doing that, you know, going, not exercising, not like, going outside and interacting with people, not fucking, I mean, and you just get depressed and your interaction with people sounds even worse, you know? And you're like, that, now I definitely don't want to. Oh, now I don't even know. And like, I don't want to be like this. I don't know. It's like, dude, it's, I don't know. It's like a vicious cycle. And it's always good. Dude, I was like, I'm not going to do anything today. Then I read some like quote and it was like, whatever. It was basically like some in one of those inspirational things. Like, go outside, man. Or it was like, dude, you were like dead for a billion years. You're gonna be dead for a billion years. Go outside, man. And I was like, all right. And I fucking went outside and had like a great day. I went to fucking did all this great shit. I went to the art institute and I forced myself to appreciate art. I saw some like live band, and I was like so butthurt before. And I was like, because I've like created whatever, you know, like I wanted this like ideal thing. I'm like, I want to move to a new city and not get a job and hang out with all my friends and like hook up with this girl and write. And every single one of those things happened. And I was just like butthurt still. I'm like, why? You know, like,
you got with that chick?
I mean, yeah, sort of. I mean, we like made out, but like,
all right.
Yeah, but no, but we like got to hang out, which is what I mean, I don't know. She probably doesn't listen to this, but that's all I wanted. but like, dude, but it's kind of like, like when the fuck are you gonna be sad? You know, at some point, it's like not. You have to like, if you're not gonna be like satisfied now, like you're just a pussy, you know. Like I always had these like gripes back at home, you know, and now every single thing I was griping about is gone. Like I'm living this awesome like existence, but like you said, like I was sitting around, like I almost beat the system. Like, oh my god, like now I, you know, but now you have to use that time to whatever, pursue other goals, blah, 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 which I would ended up doing. But for 3 or 4 days, I didn't do shit. And I was so, I was like I said, I'm trying not to say depressed because it minimizes people that are depressed. But, I don't know. I was not feeling good about myself and I like had to ask myself why. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But because I wasn't going outside and collecting berries you have to create the obstacles for yourself, man. If I'm not going to have the obstacle of whatever, 9 to 5 or going out and chopping wood or fucking killing antelope, you need to create obstacles for yourself to overcome or else you're not going to have satisfaction. Like, it's not like,
But then it's like Sisyphus, you know, it's like, is that just life? It's just creating obstacles and then fucking hopping over them and then finding new ones, you know?
Yeah.
Because at some point you're like, fuck, is that it?
I think that's it, dude. I'm sorry.
Push the rock up the hill and then fucking it falls and then you're like, shit.
Push it up
again. Rock and then push it up again.
Yeah. I mean, I really think, I don't know. I think,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just look at it from our perspective, like how, like every single like big artist like grows disillusioned with their work and wants to evolve. Right. And like they're, right. I'm over it, fucking over it. And like Radiohead, I'm not playing that. Like whatever the Strokes, I'm not playing that old shit. Oh, like they all hate playing their old stuff. They want to play their new stuff because they want to evolve. And it's, and they were, yeah. That, yeah, I don't know. I think it's inevitable no matter what. That you want to find the new rock to push up the hill, and then you just keep doing that until you die. It's so fucked up.
Yeah,
I don't. And then I mean, I guess just reproduce too. You know, thank God sex feels good. I think if sex felt awful, then we'd really have no fucking reason to like wait a minute.
Yeah, it wouldn't be here.
Because like, how much of the things we do is to get laid? You know, to make ourselves more interesting and. Like whatever, like
more attractive.
Yeah, thank you for the opposite sex. I know like a lot of things I do definitely, I mean, you trace back to getting laid, which is great, you know, I mean, that's obviously the way we're designed, but yeah besides that, it is a lot of pushing rocks up hills and and fucking doing it again. But the key is, I guess, pushing rock up a hill that blocks out the sun for someone else, so to speak.
That's a nice image.
Nice. You know, if you got to push the rock up the hill, make it nice for someone else. I guess that's
for someone else's rock, man.
Yeah, you know, take a little your neighbor's rock and push it up. For, I mean, help him out, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's what. Just try to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah, then you'll be satisfied forever, dude.
Yeah.
In the reset pen phase that, you know, we're always reaching for.
Yep. I mean, there definitely is no destination, man. I mean, you look at all these old fucks that are still working. Like, look at the most successful people in the world are still working, you know? I'm like, oh, I've reached a certain number and comfort and, like, esteem in society, and now I'm just going to sit here and just gig for 30 years until I die, you know? Wake up every morning, it's just a big party. You know, like, it just is so not like that. So why are we working towards something that's not possible? You know, there is no retirement. There's no, like, happy retirement with your family and, like, the coast of Cape Cod. Like, doesn't, you know? I mean, maybe when you're 980 or something, but, like,
right.
when we really should be dead, then our bodies are like, okay, well, I'm not dead. Okay, chill. I'm, you know, fuck ambition, fuck sex. I guess when your sex drive goes, you know, that's when we're given a break on the ambition part of it, but...
Yeah. But, you know, we'll still have obstacles. They'll just look different.
Yeah. I guess then survival.
You know, our aspirations change.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, yeah, it's just less. You're not trying to. I mean, yeah. Totally. But, hey, besides that, life's pretty good, you know?
Yeah. We're in, like, the most fucking depressing, existential fucking podcast ever. I would not want to hear this shit. Yeah, I apologize to any listeners during this.
Boo. Yeah, dude. Someone's like probably driving home. This is probably going to come out tomorrow on a Friday. Someone just full week of work, feeling great. Hey, I'm going to throw on the podcast on the way home. Mike's always got some good incest humor right now. Maybe we get a giggle in before we go out. And I'm just tying a noose and calling it a day. Hey, well, on that note, why don't we do a couple of hypotheticals to really lighten the mood?
Do it.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Would you rather text every single person in your phone book and, like, do it individually, like, hey, blank, hey, Matt Cox, hey, whatever, random girl you fucked in college, hey, I think it'd be kind of cool if we... I know the iPhone 6 comes out next week, and I was thinking it'd be kind of cool if we, like, camped out in front of the store, you know, made a cool, fun night out of it. I've got a tent. We can barbecue. And I was thinking, yeah, you and I would just camp out, and we can be the first ones to get the iPhone 6. It'd be so fun. So let's pitch that to them. Or text your mom, I want to be inside you.
Oh.
And you could, or yeah, I'll let you pick it apart. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, could I tell my mom, oh, sorry, that wasn't meant for you?
Yeah, yeah. Still awkward.
Oh, I'm trying to like think of who's in my phone who would get the first one. Grandma.
Yeah. Every single person in your phone gets it.
I'd have to get it. I'd go for Facebook. It's not like irreparable.
Yeah.
I mean, the long one is sort of like, you know, fucking, yeah, it would suck too, because, yeah, I live at home.
Yeah.
And my mom would know that I just, like, she would know that I say that to girls.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't tell her it wasn't meant for you, she'd be like, what the fuck would you say that to? Yeah, that'd be bad. I'd go with the first one, dude.
Text every single person. Yeah. I think I would too. And I like the way I broke it down was, so you've got like three different groups. You've got the people that are your good friends, like you, like me and whatever Cox and fucking all the Branson kids and everything who would just figure you're running a bit and they'd laugh. And then you have the people that you don't know really, and you're never going to see again. So fuck them. But, like, the people would be really weird with would be, like, the people in between that you, like, kind of see around and, like, you, like, say hello to when you see them and, like, but you don't know them super well. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
My boss.
What's that?
My bosses.
Yeah, like, those kind of people that you, like, kind of know. Or, like, or the people from, like, Santa Barbara that you, like, were real good friends with that aren't in touch with quite as much anymore, you know? Like what? I don't know, that would like take some cleanup work, and obviously you can't be like, oh, sorry, you know, you can't tell them the hypothetical part of it, so you just have to be that dude that wanted to camp out, and then like, thought it would be fun, it'd be kind of a fun activity.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, did you see Mark Chen, his Facebook post about, talking about Facebook, about reselling those Lil Wayne tickets?
Nah.
He's trying to sell Lil Wayne Drake tickets for $215.
Wow.
And he's like swearing to everyone on Facebook that it's like a great deal. He's like, dude, I could sell them for so much more. And I was just thinking, like, dude, Mark, there's no way if you could sell them for more, you wouldn't, Mark.
Getting them for $250 face was too steep, but $215 for Mark, dude.
Yeah, I love it. I just love his little entrepreneur, dude. Just fucking.
Mark like, is the doofest motherfucker in the goddamn world, dude.
Yeah, he's been planning this for months. That's why I thought it was so funny. When he bought like 7 tickets, just so he could do that. And those things never work out.
People would be fighting for him.
Exactly. Like, I want to go see Drake and Lil Wayne in fucking Palo Alto on a Tuesday.
that show, dude. It's next Tuesday, right?
Yeah, something like that, dude. It's in goddamn Mountain View, man. Like,
yeah, fuck that.
There's not like a fucking riot going on to buy $215.
Dude, Mark sent me $20 to a dub, like, for months, dude.
He's owed you $20?
Yeah, he's owed me $20 for hella long. I always hit him up. I even shoot him the fucking Venmo things.
Oh,
like,
the payment.
If I'm bored, I'll just be like, oh, I'll fucking hit up Mark on Venmo. I never get it, dude. Every time I see him, I'm just like, dude, shitty weed, man. He's like, dude, come on, dude. Fuck yeah, I buy you drinks that one time. Like, what time? You were blacked out. You remember? I'm like, yeah,
that's so fucked up. He's cheaping out on a fucking bag, dude. That's so fucked
up. Yeah, dude. And he's Instagramming pictures at, like, 5-star restaurants in the city.
I know.
So, like, the view from his fucking fat studio apartment. We're like, back room. God, fuck you, Mark.
Oh, that's so classic. Hey, Mark, if you're listening to this, man, pay the man. Pay him. And also quit buying tickets just to resell them. That never works out. I swear to God, I did that one time. Actually, I did it recently for the first time ever. But I tried to give the tickets away beforehand for face value, but I figured if I couldn't, then I could sell them to make a bunch of money. Didn't make any fucking money off either of them. I think one of them I didn't even use, and then the other one I I mean, I think I gave there to face value, whatever. But it's just like the universe has a way of like punishing those who buy up tickets to concerts, you know, and just
yeah.
and try to make like $40 off each of them, you know. Especially for fucking, I think sporting events, there's more. I still couldn't do it for Giants game. I was about to apply for playoff tickets because they're about to make the playoffs, it looks like. And right. like, and I was like, dude, I don't even want to have a chance of me winning the tickets and not being, you know. But I mean, yeah. like for like other events, whatever, I can see it. But like for concerts, like art, to experience art in the most pretentious way possible. But like, it's true. I mean, people want to experience, and you're going to fucking make $30 per ticket, you know, like I guess yeah. that's what I was doing. I was trying to make like $20. Like if I sell $15 above face value, I can go for free. It's like, dude, fuck off. Let someone else have a chance to go enjoy it too. And just go pay the money and do it. We already get all the music for free, you know?
Yeah.
Pay the money. Jesus Christ.
Coachella, you can do it, I think.
What's up?
Coachella. I had a Coachella ticket last year that I sold for like 100 more.
Yeah, that was like, I remember that. I thought you were crazy on that one. That was like the nicest thing ever. Because those were going for like a G.
I know.
Yeah, no, but dude, that was like the good fucking... That was a good move, man, in the long run. I swear to God, that's a good move. Especially if someone you know. Oh, wait, do you even know the person?
It was like Chris Packer's girlfriend's friend or something.
There you go.
She hit me up and offered, what was it? It was $350 or something. She offered like $425, so I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And of course, like 2 hours later, I got some replies like from some high rollers. Like, what did you see? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Dude, fuck it, though, man. I'm telling you, dude. Wait, have I told the story about the $100? I totally have. I won't. Never mind. The $100 I like the guy offered me and then I found or whatever.
Wait, what?
Oh, dude. Instant karma. I'm sure I've told you this before. You'll hear it. But real quick, I was at Sasquatch and I'm leaving the festival to go get more fucked. I'm like drunk as fuck. And I'm leaving the festival to go back to the campsite to get more fucked up because when I'm that fucked up, I don't decide if I drink more alcohol. Mike does, the other Mike, yeah, but so I'm going back to the thing, and some guy's like, looks like he's panhandling, and he's like, keeps stopping people, and he's like, whoa, and I'm like, what's wrong, man? He's like, hey, man, hold up. I'm like, dude, I don't have any money. He's like, no, dude, I want to give you money. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. So I stop. I'm like, now you are speaking my language, and he stops me. He's like, yo, I'll give you $100 if you drive my car into the campground. And what he wanted, because you can't get your, like, there's a big party going on basically in the campground at all times, but you can only get your car in if you have a fucking wristband and they check really closely. So he wanted me to drive his car like 200 yards from like just in, before the entrance into the campground. And I was like pretty drunk, but I knew I could do it because it was just a dirt road, whatever. Like, it was not like a highway or anything. And he offered me $100 and I was like, dude, I can't take it. You know, like $100 to do this simple task. All he wants to do is just party with his girlfriend, but I'm taking some risk here. I'm pretty fucked up and I have to show my wrist to a cop. So, you know, it's worth $30. Just like, you're like, okay, yeah, man. You know, I'm like, they're going for $1,000. It's worth $425. It was like the decent thing to do. Both people win. Right. And so I'm like, no, man, because he had the $100 like offers me. And I was like, no, dude, just give me $30. Whatever. I drive his car in. Dylan and I go back to the campsite. Some guy gives us shrooms. We have a great pregame together. And I'm walking back so there's like 30 minutes afterwards. And I'm waiting in line to get back into the festival. And there's a $100 bill on the ground right next to me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I pick up the $100 bill and it's fucking real. And I just put it in my pocket and there you go. I got the $100. It's like.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like the world, it's like the universe unfolding like it should. Like, I tried to help this guy out, whatever, and I don't know. But, like, obviously it doesn't work out like that way every time with instant karma, literally instant karma. But yeah, I mean, I think it just, in the end, it works out better if you're just kind like you were, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe some douchebag who refused him found, like, $200, you know?
Yeah. It's possible.
Fuck off, bro. Kept walking, coming across, just what?
Yeah, $200 and like the secret to happiness and a little folded note. Like, fuck. Some guy that pelted him with a tomato on the way by and just goes home with his dime and just banks the fuck out of her.
What happened to those shrooms?
dude, I didn't
think
of
it. I saw, I think, they were at your house one time.
Yeah. I still have them. I don't know. They're still my. I'm sure they're fucked by now. I was listening to some podcasts and some guy was talking about how you have to keep them in the freezer or else they. I mean, after a certain amount of time. Yeah, well, if you really want to preserve them for like months and months and months, yeah, you have to keep them in the freezer. He said.
Yeah, reminds me of one of my cooler stories.
Freezer and shrooms, hit it.
I had shrooms in Santa Barbara that I drove down to sophomore year. And they were just like in my closet for a bunch of months. And I lived with Dan. You know, do you meet Dan, Asian kid?
Yeah, nice kid.
Yeah, he had some friend, this chick who works for like the Associated Students, whatever. And like, I guess, do you know Matthew Santos?
No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't expect you to. The dude in fucking Superstar with Lupe. If you are what you say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Santos. He was, like, performing or some shit, and it was, like, the girl's duty to, like, show him around. And I don't know. I guess, like, he asked her if she had any shrooms, and she hit up Dan, and then, you know, Dan told me.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking Matt Santos, dude, fucking famous A-lister, came by our house.
No.
And picked up my shrooms. And I don't know. I guess they weren't good because they were just in my closet for months, but maybe.
Jeez, dude. So you really, you helped, you're part of a living legend, dude. A voice of a generation. And you contributed to that voice.
It's funny because my roommates didn't know, nobody knew who the fuck he was. Like, you know, he walked in. He looks like roughly our age, maybe a little older, like very well put together and shit. And they're all playing like Nazi zombies.
Yeah.
And he said something like, oh, I got to like level 30 or some shit. And I was like, it's bullshit, man. Fuck you. And like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, guys, Matt Santos.
Matt Santos.
Who the fuck is Matt Santos?
Oh, that's classic, dude. Yeah, that must be tough being like a D-list celebrity, you know?
Yeah. He probably just wanted to tell them, like, I'm Matt Santos. You can't talk to me like that.
Fucking Matt Santos.
You know that song.
You are what you say. He just does the same thing you just did to me.
That's just me.
Yeah.
That's me.
He like has them play Super. He like pops in a CD of Superstar without vocals, and then he fills in the vocals.
That's just probably his ringtone. Like every time his phone rings, it has me. It's me.
His acoustic version, he recorded it like and put it on YouTube, and someone gave him shit.
That happens.
No, I mean, I'd be funny if he covered his own song on YouTube and everyone made fun of him. Fucking poser, bitch! Like,
you suck.
Yeah, get out of your fucking bathroom. His real song is gay, and your song is even gayer. Oh, dude, what poor Lupe, man? What the fuck happened?
Lupe, I don't know. He annoys me. He rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I feel like he just adopted that whole. He's just like made the decision one day, like, okay, I'm gonna be a conscious rapper. I'm gonna play that card, you know. I'm gonna grow like mini dreads, fucking rap about political stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I
don't know. He just annoys me a little bit. He called out Chief Keef or something. You know, Chief Keef.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Chief Keef fan or anything, but, like, Chief Keef is actually, like, they're both from Chicago, but Chief Keef is, like, fucking ghetto as shit. Lupe is, like, not. And
yeah.
Chief Keef, like, just came back hard at him, like, you know, nothing, like, nothing intelligent. He's like, just fuck you, like, faggot. Swear as fuck, like, middle class. And like, I don't know, I found myself siding with Chief Keef. Like, yeah, you fucking tell him, dude, that middle class fuck taunt you out.
Classic, dude. Dude, talking about Lupe, he's performing at this festival called Awe Fest in Union Park in Chicago. It's hosted by Dave Chappelle and headlined De La Soul, Common, and Lupe.
Oh, like the three whitest fucking hip hop groups.
Yeah.
Hip hop action.
Exactly. Yeah, dude. Supposedly Chappelle's back in though, and he's just fucking killing. He's just back in it, just jump back into it. Because for a while he was like, supposedly his comedy was pretty weird. And now, now it's just like fucking, he's just dialed in and he's, Oh yeah. That looks weird, man.
Which is weird. Yeah. Too much, I saw him at a Mountain View or something like a year and a half ago for Oddball or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And he was fucking hilarious, but it was just weird that he was so yoked, man. I was like, I don't know. It's somewhat like the track, not the track. It just like changes.
Yeah. I think that's like the age where he, I mean, you just think Half-Baked and Chappelle Show, obviously, and like he's wearing these big goofy shirts, you know, and
he's still got that goofy, toothy smile and shit. He's still like goof looking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's just got giant arms and shit, and he like wears small shirts and shit.
Yeah, man. I think there's going to be a time, and I'm speaking to us in particular, us just like kind of skinny dudes that like at some point, we're going to have to either get fat or muscular, you know? And I think he must have reached that point. And he's like, fuck that. I'm not going to get fat. Might as well get jacked, you know?
Yeah.
Because our body's going to start retaining this weight and we can either turn it into muscle or we can just, like, keep our skinny arms and, like, have it all go to our belly, you know? Like,
is he sober now?
I don't know, man. I hope not.
I feel like that's what happens. You go sober and you can't just be sober and skinny. You know, you got to go fully. We got to start... You gotta be a vegetarian and stop doing drugs too.
Yeah. Goddamn vegans. Yeah. You're like, that all comes at once. The fucking, the yoga, like the juices, the no alcohol, like the, all the fun just goes all in one fluid flush, dude. You're just not a fun person anymore all at once.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to get real fucked up now while we can, you know? Although not get blacked out. That's the new, new law of the land, dude. We're not getting blacked out anymore.
Just use the new drug, dude. Drunk's the new blackout.
Yep. That's real, man. Spoken like a true 23-year-old, almost in their mid-20s. No, man, I think three shots is okay. Yeah. I just went over to Tom's house, had a couple beers. I think I'm just going to call it a night. Yeah. I want to feel 100% tomorrow. Yeah, no, but I mean, that's like totally the case. Dude, some girl... I don't know if she was going to fuck me or not, so maybe I'm just being hopeful, but she was really putting on the moves, whatever. She won. I met her on the metro, and I was spitting just straight fire, because it was like midnight on a Saturday, and I was like day drinking all day, so I just wanted to go home, and I was just so tired, and it was like everything I dreamed of happening in Chicago. This like really hot younger girl, she's like, yeah, whatever, she's like, hey, yeah, she's wanting to hang out, we were like talking and stuff, and she's like, hey, come to the bars with us. She was with her, like, a homosexual friend, male friend, who, like, I was, whatever, I talked to gays very well. I'm from San Francisco, and I think that impressed her. And I was just like, hey, come get drinks with us. Like, I really want to, like, talk to you more. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I'm going home. It wasn't even, like, a decision. And I just fucking went home, and there's a hot senior in college from DePaul just bound. And then she's like, oh, can I give you my number at least? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay, fine, whatever. But I was just like, dude, and I got home and I beat off, and then I just felt so ashamed. What did I just do? Some hot college girl like wanted to like go to a bar and like, you know, I mean, I really would never say this unless I was actually getting the vibes, but I was like getting the vibes really hard, and I was just, I'm really tired, you know, like.
Yeah, I just getting settled. I'm going to Bed Bath & Beyond tomorrow with the guys.
Exactly.
Getting the shower curtains.
You know, I would love to have one more drink, but let me tell you, I will feel it tomorrow. You know, like, I already set my limit and I'm sticking to it. You know, it's like, you old fuck, why did you move to Chicago? If when a hot young girl like says she wants to like go home and fuck, you're like, oh Jesus, would you look at the time? You know,
like, she probably wants you a lot more now.
No, that's what I thought. And then I, like, spat some of the worst text game of my life. Because I did have her number. And she was just like, the moment was so past. She's like, no. Like, no thanks, man. She like texted me like, yeah, she was like texting me like I was her fucking cousin. Just being really nice and supportive. But like very, trying to end the conversation very short and very happy. Great. Yes, definitely. Like, of course. It was a great night.
Please delete my number.
Please leave my number! Exclamation mark! Exclamation mark! Smiley face with the tongue out. Please leave my number. You're boring as fuck. Why don't you call your friend and talk about like the injustices of the world, politics, incest and fucking oil. You old fuck.
Fucking loser. You has been. You wash up.
Boo. She just appears in my window every night. Boo. That'd be a great alarm clock. I needed her just booing me.
sounds like you're killing it out in Chicago, man.
Dude, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I'm having a good time.
Figuring out with girls, rejecting college seniors.
Yeah.
Going to the museum.
Talking about by myself, dude. Yeah, it's a lot of hanging out by myself. It's weird to like. I'm not good at like as for everything. Whatever. We're all social guys, and I consider myself a pretty social dude. But like, I'm social in a way that, like, I don't really initiate. You know, for when we hang out, it's not really initiated. It's like, oh, it's Tuesday, we're going to Bruco, or oh, it's Friday. It's not a question of like, would you like to go out? It's like, are you going out or not? You know. You know what we're doing. Are want to meet us there or not? Either way is cool. But like, for me to say like, hey, it's Mike, like, would you actually get a drink later on? it's kind of a mental block for me. I don't know, man. Maybe it's a fear of them saying like no, or like maybe then I'm like responsible for their entertainment because I suggested this fucking idea after they worked all day, you know. But I'm still whatever. The weekends are really fun. Just like the weeks, I envision myself getting fucked up every day and just not happening. it's a good time.
Well, we haven't gone to Bruco since you departed.
No way, dude. No one bothering everyone to do it.
Well, Jim was like asking me to go two nights ago, and I was like, I just gotta get up early. Like, Mike's not here. Cody's moved to the city, you know.
Dude, I mean, yeah. I mean, the Vianavaro boys leaving at once probably didn't help. Like,
yeah.
And then Cox has a girlfriend.
Just a shell of the former scene.
Yeah, dude. Isaacson moved to the city. Blues.
All the dudes you haven't gotten out yet.
What's up?
It's all the dudes you haven't gotten out yet.
Yeah. It's like a Marin Anonymous, dude. Marin Residence Anonymous. Yeah, just drinking.
Drinking two beers, fucking Venmoing each other the $6.
Oh, classic. The waitresses just fucking hate us. We get our drinks from the bar, so we don't have to tip the waitress. I did that like the entire time, dude. Just easier this way.
Go home, make a peanut butter banana sandwich for lunch, and then go to sleep.
Talk yourself to sleep. That was a good day, Jonathan. That was a good day. I think today went well. You know, I'm really excited about tomorrow. Bert's like, shut the fuck up.
Oh man, I'm almost done paying off my fucking car crash.
Nice, dude. You still peddling that bread, dude?
Yeah. Just get out, dude. I just feel anchored for the moment because the weird thing is that, like, I don't know. I feel like this, like, brought me close to everybody I work with in a weird way. It's like,
hey, dude.
I don't know. I do like everybody I work with, you know, which is pretty much why I decided to fucking pay that shit.
Yeah.
And then I got that fucking hospital bill from when I fell. And that was, they're asking for a G, dude.
Wait, for when you fell, what time is this?
When I, fell.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Trash
can. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Oh wait. Oh, so they did send you the fucking hospital bill. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, I thought it wouldn't come because it had been like 2 months, and then right when I'm getting over my whole fucking car crash bullshit, I get that in the mail.
They didn't do anything though, right?
I know, dude. I put fucking Neosporin on my face. The nurse did. I talked to the doctor for like 30 seconds. He told me I should get stitches, and I was like, nah. And then that was it.
Oh my god, dude! I'd protest the fuck out of that, man.
I know. I'm going to.
I mean,
said that like he saw someone in therapy or somebody who knew somebody. I don't know. This dude was like 50 years old and retired from like the hedge fund game, like sitting on stacks, you know.
Yeah.
And he got in like a bike crash and had to pay like a big bill. And he protested it by saying that he's out of work, which is technically true. He's fucking retired at 50.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, it worked. Like, they cut his bill a little bit.
Nice. Do it, man. Because they want you to pay it. Dude, that thing, it's like, it's a fucking private company, basically. Like, they're willing to cut. It's not like the fucking IRS is going to come after you. They're a business.
Yeah.
Man. It's fucked up, but they are. Like, and they want you to pay the bill. And they, you know, it's like, okay, well, what will you pay? You know, it's better than nothing, you know, because they have a lot of people coming there that don't pay. So, right. Ever, you know, so it's not like a, whatever, open and shut case. Yeah, that's fucked up, man. Just saw this thing on the internet the other day about, it was like, why do chicks not report being raped? And it was like a receipt from a rape kit, and it cost like $7,000.
Jesus Christ, what?
Yeah, and it was like, because it tested for every single disease, and they tested for like literally every single, it was like 20 of them. And then it was like admittance and fucking like all these different fees, and it came up to like more than $7,000.
God.
It was like, oh, that's why people don't fucking say they're raped. And I think that's like, it's like protocol. It's not like they say, this is going to cost $7,000, by the way. It's like, oh, yeah, you asked if you were raped. All right, let's figure it out. And this bitch had to pay.
God, dude, healthcare.
I just, absurd, man. I was sorry, my friend, my roommate's this kid from Italy, Francesco. And he was just explaining to me how in Italy, no, this is actually some Polish chick I was talking to that was saying this. And she was saying that you go to the hospital and you never get a bill, and you go to the doctor, you never get a bill. It's just not a thing. It doesn't matter if you're having open heart surgery or you go and fuck because you have a cold, like there's no bills. And he says the medicine isn't as good, but fuck, I mean, it's free, you know, not free. It's whatever, subsidized by taxes, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, then you don't have shit like what you're. I mean, that's fucking ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
I got an automated voice message from my healthcare saying, like, we just wanted to let you know that there are other options besides emergency room. Like, for instance, seeing your general care doctor or going to urgent care. I didn't even know like what is urgent care is, like a step below ER.
Yeah, but I don't even know where an urgent care is. I mean,
yeah, I don't either. I wish I was like, fuck, why don't you send me this damn, why don't you send everybody this message, dude?
Yeah, I mean, urgent care is what they have in the mountains where there's no hospitals. Like, it's urgent care isn't, I mean, I don't know if there's an urgent care in Marin because there's hospitals right there. I don't know. That's fucking stupid, though. Of course, that just shows the efficiency of, like, the healthcare system right there. A month and a half after your head stopped bleeding, they have to offer you some, some dope options for how to fix your head to get it to stop bleeding. What? Fucking retarded. Dude, actually, I have one more hypothetical for you, then I'll let you go to sleep. Sure. I'll release you from this phone call. All right. Would you rather... Oh, this one's bad. Would you rather hold a bake sale in front of Basage Elementary School selling homemade chocolates? And you have to put up a sign that just says homemade chocolates. You have to wear a really wear a suit and like have hella balloons and smile the entire time. And when every single time a kid passes, you have to say, excuse me, sir, would you like to buy homemade chocolate? And they were literally words like seize candy, weird chocolates. And this is like during while the parents are picking their kids up at school. Or would you rather go do that or go door to door to every single door in McAllister offering free babysitting?
Yeah, those are both not that bad.
Really?
I'd probably
I almost
do the
didn't
second
ask
one.
It. I was like, dude, Mike, are you crossing the line here?
No, dude. Shit, I've basically done the second one. I fucking put flyers in everyone's mailbox like 6 summers ago.
No, dude, but it's not the babysitting that's creepy. It's the fact that it's free.
Oh, free. Oh, it's free. I missed that part, dude.
Yeah, free babysitting. It's like, excuse me, ma'am. Like, next time you're away, I would love to babysit your child for free.
I have a mustache for both of these. Yeah. What if they ask me why is it free? Can I say whatever?
No, it's like, I love children. and
like, I love children.
Yeah, and you have to fucking bike up to the door on like a tricycle, like a child's tricycle. Just laughing, giggling, get up off the tricycle.
Like some balloons.
Yeah.
I would do the first one.
Yeah.
There's some hot moms, dude.
Yeah.
I swear, dude, these moms in Kentfield, it's like they drop their kids off at school and then they must just like work out and buy clothes and make themselves look good until they pick their kids up, and then they pick their kid up.
I mean, I believe it, man. I mean, the this new crop of Marin people are very fucking rich and very young. Like,
oh man, I borrowed Cody's truck, so I'm hauling some concrete.
Nice.
You used to have that shed next to the, I don't know, we used to have a shed near like the side of our house, and
I remember it.
Yeah, demolished it, and there's like this big ass concrete block, and I've been sledgehammering it, and I don't know, I borrowed his truck so that I could dump all that shit.
Yeah.
And so when I get home from my bullshit job number one, before I go to my bullshit job number two, I've been hauling concrete into the truck. And like,
nice.
There's so many hot moms, dude. It's awesome. You know, I'll do it with my shirt off.
Nice.
Got my iPod in, dude. It's all sweaty, glistening in the sun. Veins bulging.
I'll be erections. Moms just...
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Honestly, like, the majority of the moms are hot who walk by.
Damn. Yeah. I feel like you could make that happen, man. I feel like it's not that.
Yeah, I was thinking that today, man. God, it's like they obviously are super concerned about how they look, and you know, and I guess when you get older and have a kid or two, you know, you're that much more worried that you're not considered attractive. I don't know, to young strapping males like myself. Yeah.
Totally.
So yeah.
A sexy, well built, well hung male like myself. Dude, no, but totally, man. My friend's fucking a 40-year-old right now. Has been for like 6 months.
Oh, that's awesome.
Got kids, all that shit. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm saying it can be done. Max Alpern fucked a 40-year-old. Oh, fuck. Probably shouldn't. Whatever. Too late. I might have to edit that out. Fuck. Yeah, I mean... It can be. I mean, I think the complex you were just mentioning is totally there. It's totally present. I mean, because that's what they. I mean, that's almost like their asset. You know, that's like what their skill. Oh, that's so fucked up, Mike. I'm sure that people have other skills, but you know, I mean, that's, and they want to make sure it's still there. You know, they want to practice
that, right.
Flex that muscle. It's like, yeah.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, at least you can enjoy the parade every day. That's sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fucking God, dude. Yeah. Get them older, young. Jesus. I'm sure that must be really tough to like have those old women like see like 20 or even like seniors in high school of like young college girls walk by. How much that must piss them off, dude.
Right.
Like,
yeah. God, pisses me off, dude.
Oh God, it pisses me off like crazy, man. I was walking around DePaul today, the college in Chicago, and it's just all these just smoke shows walking by. I was like, fucking. 20-year-old girls, man.
Listen to us.
Yeah, do what we did in college. I got laid 3 times. By the end of college, I was lasting like 7 minutes. Like, as if I was fucked up. If not, then no. Oh, God. Well, I guess we can end on that note. That just sad note.
Much like the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. We need to talk more about like positive thing, like unicorns or I mean I can't even think I was gonna say positive thing. I couldn't think of one positive example. Our former like sexual exploits.
You should do some like positive hypotheticals.
Johnny, what do they have you on over there, man? Simmer down.
Never mind.
Simmer down over there, Johnny.
Yeah, never mind. I was just kidding.
Johnny, these hypotheticals make our pointless, meaningful lives seem a little better. Like, hey, now I can go to bed. Like, God, dude, at least I don't have to fucking knock on all these parents' doors and ask to babysit their children. You know? I may be alone, but. All right, dude. Well, thanks for coming on, Johnny. Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you too, dude. Sounds like you're fucking killing it out there.
Dude, yeah, I'm having fun.
I hate saying killing it.
No, it's good. You're
such a bro fucking douche. Stop fucking killing it, dude. It's like when people say rape in a good way. I never liked that.
Yeah.
How was the test, man? I fucking raped it. Like, oh, so.
You held it down and ruined its life. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that one either. I feel like the rape thing is, it's like a fucking gamer, like, fucking word or something, you know?
Yeah,
oh, I'm gonna rape, I'm gonna totally pwn rape you, dude. But yeah, man, no, dude, it's good. I mean, life, it's not like a fucking parade, you know? It's not lollipops and blowjobs across the board. It's like there are certain things that are awesome about Marin that I miss, like, I don't know, just like seeing all you dudes, fucking food in the fridge, whatever, small thing. Overall, it's a fucking, I enjoy it a lot. But yeah, I mean, it's, like, today I hung out by myself for, like, 12 hours. Like, I'm still by myself, basically, physically, you know? Like, these people have work and shit. You know, I don't know, whatever. It's fun. I just wish more people did, like, my kind of shitty schedule. I'm not shitty. I think it's awesome, but, like, just shitty job schedule. And we're okay making, whatever, no money, you know? And they can hang out with me all day. All
right. Thanks to Johnny for coming on. And oh shit, looks like we have one letter. If you want to write a letter, it's Mike Sitting Down. That's Mike with an M, sitting down at gmail.com. Here's the first letter. Oh, sorry, .com. Not with the K. Mike, I feel as if you're a little too harsh on people sometimes. Just like the Kenfield School District was harsh on my people. We have suffered enough. Which is why I've petitioned the board to change Candy Court to Red and White Day. Now everybody's miserable, not just me. We are all equal. Sufi. Thank you for writing in. And no word from the bosses this week. It looks like they sent their concerned mother in their stead. Thanks to everyone that wrote in. And Fairstein, and next week we hope to have a super pod with James and Henry, and we can find out what teaching life is like for James, and we can find out what masturbation and school and fashion, sex, and hot chicks are like for Henry. Well, hopefully that'll be interesting. We'll do that in the middle of next week, and we'll have that up next Friday. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone. To all the boys back home, if you're listening, what's up, guys? Yeah, I want to say hello to everyone, and have a great weekend, and keep sitting.